My friends, illness and sickness is often a question people wonder about. They wonder, why is it here? How can we get rid of it? How can we be cured? And many of us struggle and deal with the issue of health insurance, myself included. Well, in today's video, Maria Sima will give us an insight from the souls in purgatory about illness and how we can deal with it. Join me in today's video. Begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to today's video. This is the channel Uniquely Mary. My name is Alvaro. It is Good Friday. I am trying to pump out as many videos as possible because God's grace is flowing. And in today's video, we're going to continue our study about purgatory from the book Get Us Out of Here that we have covered in weeks past and sometimes taking some breaks. And today's chapter is about illness. I'm excited to share it with you. So let's see what Maria and the Holy Souls in Purgatory have to tell us today. So she says, speaking of physical weaknesses or disabilities, Maria, have souls come to you whom you knew and who were disabled in any way during their lives? She responds, yes, many. When they then appeared to me, they were completely healed of it. Wheelchairs are gone, deformations and scars are gone. Once, however, a soul came with a large goiter. Yet this was only so that the family would believe me when I told them that their relative had appeared to me with such and such instruction for them. See, they asked me what it looked like, and so when I mentioned the goiter, they believed me and thus listened to the instruction. Now, I remember one who was mute during this life and who, of course, spoke perfectly when he appeared to me. He showed joy at being able to speak to me, but I never found out why he could not speak while alive. If they were in wheelchairs in life, those are then gone and they walked perfectly. All minor as well as major imperfections are gone. But please remember that I see only those in the higher level of purgatory. I say this now because others have seen sufferings and wounds on the souls, but these are not the same ones that they were during their lives. These are then sufferings of the soul and not of the body, for they no longer have a physical body. Continuing with a few more questions. When people come into very prayerful places with great burdens and have already been checked by physicians, psychiatrists, and priests, and their conditions seem to worsen there rather than improve, can this be caused by some poor souls in their background? She responds, yes, that can be the case. But if it is so, caused by souls that are very deep in purgatory, in these cases, a good exorcist will be able to stop the deceased from pressuring the living. Next question. Maria, can you tell me of an incident where non-forgiveness led to an illness? She responds, interesting answer. Oh, that is so very often the cause of illness. Yes, I remember a case in Innsbruck where a young woman could simply not forgive her father. The situation was this. When the father was alive, he never gave any joy to his children, and in her case, when a good position came along, he refused to let her take it. It was a job that included a good amount of education, and his forbidding it caused her to wander through life without proper schooling. And it was this that she simply could not forgive. A short while after he died, he appeared to her, not once but three times, begging her to forgive him. No, the daughter just couldn't. Then the woman fell ill, and during this time it suddenly dawned on her that she should forgive him. She did, and did so deeply with all her heart. The illness quickly left her. Here is another case. It concerned an ugly and itching skin condition that a woman had for some 20 or more years. All modern medicine could do was give her a very expensive cream to reduce the itching. Then she went on pilgrimage and met with a prayerful and experienced person who one day during dinner turned to her and her husband and simply said, "Let's ask Jesus to tell us what causes that on your hands and your right leg from the knee downward." The instant he did, he had an internal vision showing a woman bending down with her right knee on the ground and with her hands stretched out toward the girl. The girl was the same woman as a child, and the woman in the vision was her mother. The woman had neglected to hold her children, and especially this one, now grown up, and she in turn had never forgiven her for this. When this was explained, the husband turned to his wife and said, "That's right. That's so right. You have never forgiven her for this." With tears in her eyes, she had to admit it. She took this intention into mass, into prayer and into mass for just 2 or 3 days, and the condition receded to just a fraction of what it had been. Then they returned home, and the fellow who had the vision never really heard whether it disappeared completely or not, but the itching and ugliness did go away nearly immediately. Awesome. The power of forgiveness is amazing. Comment down below maybe some stories you have of healing through forgiveness, or maybe some struggles or questions you have about forgiveness. Let's talk about this. Such an awesome topic. Earlier, Maria, you mentioned that Satan sends illnesses upon people through witches with demons under their control. How does one discern whether an illness is caused by them or by something else? She responds, by praying with the person or over the person. If it comes from elsewhere, the exorcism or deliverance prayer will show no results. But when it does come from demons, it will. It will at first try to hide or fight back, but with a little perseverance, it will then depart. And in hospitals today, the term virus should be a possible warning signal for this. This term is often used by doctors when they come upon something they cannot explain. In such a case, get a priest or another powerful intercessor to them, and get friends and relatives to pray quickly for the intercession of Our Lady and of Saint Michael. The priest should also take along exercise blessed and consecrated water, or better yet, oil. So my friends, with illness, there's always a spiritual dimension as well as a physical, and we need to take that spiritual dimension seriously, respecting modern medicine and using prayer. The Catholic both and, using both. Can you give me an example or two of illnesses sent upon someone demonically? She responds, at the moment I can think of 3 cases. I'll read one of them. This last case I know the most about because it happened to a friend of mine who for many months volunteered to work alongside one of the most respected priests in Europe. My friend suffered from a slightly pinched nerve between the 3rd and 4th vertebrae. This was at first treated with injections of a muscle relaxant, but these did not help at all and it only became worse. By this time the pain was terrible. He then suspected that this might be demonic and he called for 2 priests. The first one came but doubted the suspicion of his. After a long and fruitless discussion, the priest did finally go ahead and pray against it. At the moment that he did, the pains exploded and went running up and down my friend's right shoulder, arm, and thigh. It was as if a fork was ripping through his muscles and then stopping to grind into his joints. It raced up and down as the priest prayed, and then after 3 or 4 minutes, it receded dramatically. During this, however, my friend almost lost consciousness between spasms, cries, and screams. When it was over, the priest was in tears and acknowledged finally that the suspicion had been correct after all. Then 6 hours later, my friend, having slept a little, the second priest, the one for whom he was working, came to him as well, and he too started to pray against it. This time it only fought back to about 1/3 of what it had before, and it calmed down entirely. The next morning he was up again after 5 days in bed and could resume with his work as before. So he ended up being cured. Amazing. Amazing that many times these things that we're dealing with, they're more than just one-dimensional. There's really a lot of things there. Few more questions. Do prayers for healing and for deliverance help from a distance if the person is not yet open to being prayed with? And she responds, interestingly, yes, definitely. And far too many people, including priests, do not have a faith strong enough to believe this and thus do not put it into practice. In the Bible, Catholics, we believe in the Bible. Jesus healed the centurion's servant at a distance. Interesting. Wow. You know, actually, I've been wondering about that, about praying for people at a distance. So maybe I can pray with you at a distance. If you need prayers for deliverance, contact me. Let's make a session. Let's pray at a distance. Let's listen to this. In the Bible, Jesus healed the centurion's servant at a distance. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go as you have believed, it will be done for you." Jesus healed the servant due to his master's faith in him, but it wasn't the master's faith that did the healing. This often worries people who think that their faith is too weak to help. Jesus is never too weak to help, but we must often wait, for his plan is often different from ours. Let's do a couple more questions. When people come to you with disturbances and you take the names of their deceased relatives, do you then witness the peace that enters the individual, the family, or the house in question after the masses and other prayers? Yes, almost always depending, of course, on whether they keep in touch. Many people stay in touch for a long time, and although I am not a psychiatrist or physician with all those involved names on my tongue, I can certainly tell when a distressed child very quickly turns into a peaceful, happy child, and that without any therapy or drugs. It brings me much joy to see these changes repeatedly. Jesus and Mary exclude no one from their peace and joy. So if you are having struggles in your family, offer masses for your deceased relatives. Maybe that will be sufficient to heal the depression, anxiety, and all those struggles. And as always, offering masses for your deceased relatives is always a good thing, no matter what the reason for. Let's look at this last question. Many different areas of medicine today use hypnosis as part of therapies or to find out what happened in the past that may have something to do with the illness involved. Have the souls said anything about hypnosis to you? The souls have said that hypnosis is dangerous and a sin. Hypnosis is dangerous and a sin. I'm repeating her words and echoing them. Do not do it. And go to confession if you have. No one may delve into our subconscious, and even if they do, the testimonies that come from there are very unreliable. Some people who believe in the falsehood of reincarnation base their beliefs on the results of hypnosis. That is just one case where a relatively small sin leads to much confusion. Friends, glory be to God that He gives us the souls in purgatory through Maria Sima and other witnesses that we may learn so much about our faith. Thank you for joining me in today's video. Hit the like, subscribe to this channel, support this channel, pray for me, and see you in the next video.